And good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to be back here for our first Community Conversations program for 2021. I hope you've missed us. I've missed you. And, well, it's been 6 weeks since the final program we had the week before Christmas with our Mayor of the Shire of Yarra Ranges and our amazing Success for Christmas panel, which I hope you enjoyed. But that seems a long way ago, a long way back there, doesn't it? Right now, I did get a note from Hickey to say thanks to all of you out there who had contributed gifts, toys and food and all those goodies for Christmas for people who might need it. And a big thank you from Hickey for that. But how are you travelling? How are things looking for you in 2021? What's it going to be like? Well, I think all of us have lots of questions about what the year ahead is going to be. Most of us listening this morning have experienced 8 or 9 months of lockdown here in Victoria in 2020, and it's been tough. And we've had to learn new ways of living, new ways of working. What does it really mean? And hoping, I think, that 2021 will be much kinder to all of us. And I thought this morning we should do just a little bit of reflection at the beginning, but then talk about 2021, obviously, and moving forward and learning some tips. But before that, for those of you who perhaps haven't listened to us before or maybe have forgotten what Community Conversations is all about, we've been going for 6 years, and the purpose of this program is to allow you, the listener, to hear interesting stories, to get an insight into people who are doing amazing things, to our leaders, our community groups, our not-for-profit organisations. Their purpose, of course, is partly to educate, inform, to share the news with you, the events that are coming up. And, of course, we're very happy to promote any community groups and community events that are coming up. So if you have something, or if you are doing something interesting and you'd like to tell your story on air, we'd love to hear from you. So do that. The show's 1 hour from 9 till 10 every Thursday morning, and we mix it up. We have about 50% songs and 50% talk, and we really enjoy tackling some of the challenging conversations, the challenges of our times, the issues of our times, and of course COVID has been the biggest of those for the last 12 months. We're ably supported by Corazon, our producer here, and she keeps us on track, keeps us honest, and all of that. And we appreciate that very much, Cora. This morning, though, because Megan Buntine has been, well, such a stalwart for us here on Community Conversations and was also part of our pre-Christmas success panel. If you missed that, by the way, that, like most of our programs, has been podcast by Greg, and you can see that on our website. So have a listen if you like. But Megan, welcome back. I can see you there on Zoom. It's funny not having you in the studio still, but welcome.
Thanks, Bruce. It's great to be back. Yes, it'd be nice to be back in the studio as well one day.
Yes, we hope that time is perhaps not so far off, Megan, but I thought let's just reflect a little bit, you and I'm putting you on the spot. I like doing that. What have we learned, Megan? What have we learned from 2020? What have we learned from lockdown? Are we doing things differently? Are we seeing the world differently?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a big question, isn't it? I think we are in a whole range of ways. I think a simple one, well, we've just really alluded to it, haven't we, in terms of the Zoom. I know myself, I'm a bit of a Luddite, but I've had to come kicking and screaming into the 21st century as well. And, in fact, I'm launching my first online training sessions next week. So that's a bit exciting and a bit scary at the same time. And I'm sure it'll all go well. So I think, yeah, certainly the way we work has changed a lot, being able to do things remotely. You know, it's certainly cutting down on people's travel time, which has got to help with work-life balance, if nothing else.
Yes, and the amazing training that Megan has referred to is around good governance for not-for-profit and community groups. That's the area that Megan specialises in, and there is a course, I think it's nearly full, Megan, there is a course in Healesville next week. As you say, online, I think it's Tuesday night.
Yes, that's right. So on Tuesday from 6:30 to 9:30, I'll be running an online course for people in and around the Healesville area. So if anyone hasn't been able to attend in the past and is desperate to come along, I could probably squeeze one or two more in.
So. There you go. And we'll give you the contact details a bit later in the program. That's terrific. Megan, COVID has also, I think, for many people, brought a change in work-life balance, in reprioritising what's important, family and so on, do you think?
I think so, yeah. A lot of people I see are looking at the way they live and the things that they do and maybe doing things a little bit differently coming out of 2020. I think that, you know, people who like to travel are looking at different ways to travel. I guess in Australia we're fortunate that we're allowed to travel around the country for the most part. So embracing that, you know, travel in your own backyard, even have a staycation, sit at home and have some time off and just chill out. So I think we're looking at doing a whole range of things differently now than what we were doing 12 months or 18 months ago.
Yes, and before we go to the first song you've selected for us, what about the whole sense of belonging and community, Megan, which is very important to me and you, I know. How do you think we've navigated that in, you know, on our online environments? Have we lost something in terms of community? Have we learned new ways of belonging and being a part of the community?
I think it's challenging, isn't it, for those of us who like to be around other people and get our energy from being around other people. It's how do we do that in a new way, and particularly when we've got restrictions and, you know, if the virus is out there active in the community and we're not allowed to actually meet in person. So I think a lot of people have probably had a lot of Zoom coffees and Zoom dinners and so forth over the last
Zoom 12 gift
months.
Unwrapping and things, Megan, or something.
Yeah, all those sorts of things. So my niece had her 18th birthday party via Zoom, which was about 6 months ago when we were sort of in the thick of it. So, you know, thinking about how we can still keep those connections with the people that are important to us at times when we're not actually physically allowed to be together. I think, you know, when you talk about social distancing, I actually don't like the term social distancing. I prefer the term physical distance.
I do too, Megan.
It's about not being physically close to each other but still having that social connection, which is so important.
Mm. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things this morning, but to kick us off, Megan has selected Sonny and Cher and I Got You, Babe.
But at least I'm sure of all the things we got, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers in the spring. I got you to wear my ring. My hand. I got you to hold got you to walk with me. I got you to talk with me. I got you to kiss goodnight. I got you to hold me tight. I got you, I won't let go. I got you to love me so. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
And if you've just joined us, I'm Bruce Argyle. You're listening to Community Conversations, a part, well, a regular part of our program suite here at Yarra Valley FM 99.1. We've been on air on this program for the last 6 years, Cora and I, and it's been wonderful to have your company and great to have you back. Well, great to be back this morning. You probably haven't gone anywhere, but I've had a little break and like many of you, had the challenges of COVID during January and having to rush back to Victoria to meet deadlines and lockdowns and things like that. Not an easy thing. And we're all adjusting, but onwards and upwards, I'm sure 2021 is going to be a great year. And as February has kicked off, well, we're on the 4th of February already, many of the groups that we're involved with, the community groups, the sporting clubs, the service clubs, the organisations that are at the very fabric of our community, of our broader community, locally and statewide and so on, are starting their program, albeit with the challenges of COVID sitting alongside, but starting programs for 2021 and kicking groups off and as Healesville Toastmasters did on Monday night, which was great. And so I thought today, with your help, Megan, because I'm not going to do it on my own, with your help, that we'd have another look at how should we put it, Megan? When a group is operating well, what does that look like? Now, I was trying to avoid using the word that we're going to actually talk about in a moment, but you know, what does it take for our community group, for our organisation, whatever that is, to operate well? What are the frameworks that determine that, you know, we achieve what we want to and so on? And of course, the word I've been trying to avoid, I'm going to let Megan introduce for us. Megan, and it's that big G word, which sometimes people switch off as soon as they hear it. So you better say it very carefully.
They do. Sometimes when I say governance, people just, you can see the shutters going up and them zoning out, but I try to make fun and interesting and a bit silly sometimes. It's about really thinking about the topic and making it work for you. And, you know, it's interesting, I think, that so many of our community organisations are champing at bit in 2021 to get on with business because they were so restricted last year. I know that, you know, usually from about mid-December till about mid-February is very, very quiet with the organisations that I work with, but, you know, a lot of them have kicked off, you know, early to mid-January, so they're champing a bit to get on with things. And just a reminder about making sure you've got good governance in place while you're doing that and you're coming back into ramping things up and getting back on board. So I think, the framework that you have pointed out to me is a really good one to use as a bit of a guide, which people can find on the communitygrants.gov.au website. And their five pillars of good governance, I think, is a really good, simple little framework that people can look at to help them get their head around, well, what is this thing called governance? What's it all about? What does it mean? What do I need to be ensuring that we're doing?
All right. So let's do it. Thank you, Megan. Let's do it then. Because one of the we always try and get feedback on our programs here at Yarra Valley FM. And one of the feedback, some of the feedback that I got was that it'd be really helpful if we just gave a little more structure sometimes to our community conversations. So today we're going to do exactly that. We're going to have five pillars that Megan has just mentioned, and we're going to tackle them one at a time, and there'll be a test at the end for all of you listeners to see whether you can identify what the five of them are. So here goes, Megan. The first one is that we should make roles and decision-making clear within our organisation, so that we should make the roles, the expectations of people, and the decision-making processes within our organisation, we should make them clear. So what are we really saying there?
So I think in terms of making roles clear, one of the easiest things you can do there is have like a role statement, or, you know, we've probably all seen them when we go to work or go for a job interview, we get a job description. So it's not dissimilar to that, just having a simple little one pager, if you like, or a couple of pages, which describes what the different roles for the, particularly for the executive people on the committee or the board, so the president, the vice president, the treasurer and the secretary.
And mostly these are volunteers, aren't they, Megan, in most cases?
What do they need to do in those roles? Give them some clarity so they've got that guidance.
Yep, terrific. And the decision-making processes, so when we say we need to make them clear, how do we normally do that with most groups? Are we talking the terms of reference, the constitution, shall we say, or of the group, or how are they normally set out, Megan?
Yes, so definitely your constitution or your rules. If you're an incorporated association, you'll have a set of rules. What do they say about how you make decisions, like how many people need to vote in favour of something before you can action it, whether that be at the membership level or at committee level, at an AGM, for example. It might be that you have a principle on your for your committee or your board that you vote by majority, or that you actually sit down and you nut things out until you all agree.
Yep.
Different ways of thinking about decision making. Is it about democratic voting? Is it about consensus? There's a whole range of information that you can read about decision making models. So thinking about what is going to work best for you, and just putting that in writing again, you know, having something documented to guide people and that you can refer new people to, so they understand what that culture is for your organisation about how you make decisions.
And do you think that the reason that is the number one pillar of the five we're going to look at today, Megan, do you think that's because we all need to be really clear on what it is that's expected of us, you know, in whatever organisation we're in, and you know, I suppose to a degree, how we're going to get there, you know, how we're going to decide, you know, what to do and so on?
Yeah, it was interesting when I was looking at these pillars and I was thinking, okay, so are they like in a hierarchy of which is the most important? But I think, you know, in some ways it's hard to choose, isn't it?
Yes.
They're all equally important, as it will unfold as we talk about the other four. But I think certainly the roles and the decision-making is, and particularly the roles, that stuff, that's fundamental. You've got to get that right, because if people don't know what they're supposed to be doing, it's going to cause all sorts of issues. Things will be left undone, or different people will be doing the same task, and that causes difficulties. So having that clarity is so important from the get-go.
All right. So for those of you who are not taking notes, number one pillar is making roles and decision-making clear. There you go for the test at the end of the program. We're going to have now Brian Ferry. Let's stick together.
The marriage vow is very sacred. The man is put us together.
And, of course, we do have the announcement just this week of a fire danger period being declared in the Shire of Yarra Ranges starting on Monday the 8th of February. Have a look at that on the local paper or on their website if you want more details. Can I just take this opportunity to say a big congratulations to Graham Mummery and Peter Gurr, who were awarded the Order of Australia Medal on the 26th of January. In Graham's case, I've actually given you the wrong name. It's Jonathan Gwilt. Jonathan Gwilt, together with Graham Mummery, has been awarded the Fire Service Medal as part of the Australia Day Honours. Congratulations to you, Jonathan, and Peter, for his outstanding service to the community and to palliative care organisations. Congratulations to you, Peter, and well done to all of you who received recognition in the Australia Day Honours, both statewide or locally or nationally. Well done. You're listening to Community Conversations. I'm Bruce Argyle. My very special guest via Zoom this morning is Megan Buntine. I haven't given you Megan's details yet, but she has all sorts of resources for community groups and not-for-profit organisations and organisations out there about good governance, about strategy, about training, resources, all sorts of things. So go on her website, www.mjbconsulting, that's mjbconsulting, all one word, .net.au, or you can actually send Megan an email if you want, megan@mjbconsulting.net.au. We're talking about the five pillars of good governance. We've shared the first one. I hope you've memorized it because there's a test at the end. Of course, I'll give you a little reminder. It was making roles and decision-making clear for your organization. And the second one, Megan, is that we nurture, maintain effective relationships with stakeholders. I'm assuming that means effective relationships with internal stakeholders, external stakeholders. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. I think that good relationships internally and externally just greases the wheels to make everything else run smoothly. So obviously within your team, whether it's a board or a committee, whoever's governing your organisation, if you're fortunate enough to have any paid people as well, you've got to have good relationships there with those people as well. So making sure you invest the time and the energy into keeping establishing those relationships well in the first place, but keeping them positive and effective, and good communication obviously underpins all of that. Mm. And then, as you mentioned, it's not just the internal stuff but the external relationships as well that are so important. So having an understanding of who are our external stakeholders, you know, primarily for any organisation that's going to be, your members are probably internal as well, I guess, but they're a major stakeholder. But external stakeholders, the broader community, anyone who's giving you funding to do the projects that you do is a really important stakeholder. You might have relationships with government bodies because you have responsibilities to them. They might be your funder, in fact. Or it might be that you have standards that you have to meet that are monitored by government, whether it be state government or the local council. Certainly most community-based organisations that I know would have a relationship with their local council because they're the first tier of government that's on the ground in the local area, that if they're not giving you money or access to resources like that, they'll be really important about providing information or facilitating the things that you do, helping you get into the networks that you want to, put you in touch with people or resources that you might need. So doing a bit of a environmental scan, I guess, of who are the stakeholders is a really useful thing to do. I know that increasingly when I do strategic planning with organisations, stakeholder engagement is one of the things that comes out as one of their priorities to do more work on. How do we build those relationships, build those networks, find those people who can help us do the things that we want to do.
Mm. Has that got harder or easier with our online requirements during COVID? Excuse me, Megan.
Look, in some ways I actually find myself, at least, that I think it's easier insofar as you can connect with people more readily. The thing that I find isn't as effective online is creating those new connections and those good, close relationships. I think if you can meet with somebody face-to-face, at least the first time you meet with them or early in the time that you're connecting with them, it forms a much richer connection. But obviously that's not always possible. I mean, I've had people who I've had a working relationship with for years before we've met each other and it's worked effectively. So I guess you've just got to be conscious of if that's a factor, how you can overcome some of those challenges.
Terrific. And we're working through the five pillars of good governance for organisations, for community groups, for not-for-profit organisations. We've looked at the importance of making roles clear, and now we've been talking about relationships. And the third key pillar is that we set the direction for organisations, for their vision, their strategy and their culture. I'll just say that again. So we set the directions for an organisation's vision, strategy and culture. I'm not sure whether they all go together necessarily, Megan, but I do want to just go off on a slight tangent and say that here at Yarra Valley FM, of course, we're looking at our strategy at the moment. And I know, because I'm going to put you on the spot, that you're involved in that. So, and I reckon there's a survey being done. You better tell us about that and how listeners can participate.
Yeah, sure. So I think when I looked at these pillars from the communitygrants.gov.au website, the setting the direction was the one that jumped off the page at me as that's the number one, because you really need to, from the get-go, even before you've fully formed your organisation, you need to be clear about who you are and what you're about. If you're becoming incorporated, you need to have articulated your statement of purposes, because that needs to go into your rules of incorporation, your rules of association. And really, you know, the sort of work that you're describing that I'm about to launch off with Yarra Valley FM about going through a process of strategic planning, the way I do that sort of work, it really starts with, well, what are our organisational values? What are the things that underpin everything we do that we do not compromise on? This, it really sums up who we are as an organisation and what we're about. And it should be visible through everything that we do. You know, that values, vision, mission, commission, being really close to your statement of purposes anyway. So setting those high-level who we are stuff in place gives us a really good foundation to do the other strategic work, to start thinking about, okay, well, if this is what we've decided is important to us, what do we then do? What are the steps we take? What are the goals that we make to drive us closer towards that, you know, perfect view of the world, if you like? And I think, you know, culture's interesting. Culture is something I think that sits around everything, and it's not something that I've necessarily thought of in this way around the strategy, but it really is, isn't it? It's fundamental to that values, vision, mission. I've worked with organisations or sat on the board of organisations where it's pretty clear that culturally there's some issues there that need to be rectified, and it really makes the rest of what you do really difficult if you haven't got that right.
Yes, no, very well put, Megan, very, very well put indeed. And listeners, you do have an opportunity to be a part of setting the strategy, the new strategy for Yarra Valley FM 99.1. You can fill out a short survey that's going to be on our website or on our Facebook page leading up to a planning day coming up in a couple of, well, about 6 weeks' time. So you've got about 6 weeks, I think, to fill out the survey. We really do value your feedback and your input on the directions that you think we should be taking here at the station. So we're looking at pillar number three of five, and it's the importance of setting the direction for the organisation, its vision, its strategy and its culture. And as Megan is rightly saying, you know, talking about the purpose. Why does your organisation even exist in the first place? We're going to have another song that Megan's selected, and it's Queen and You're My Best Friend. And I think this is one of your favourites, Megan, because I've seen it before.
Everything from Queen's my favourite.
Best friend that I ever had. Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
My special guest here on Community Conversations this morning is Megan Buntine, and we're talking about the five pillars of good governance for groups, for organisations, for not-for-profits. We've already talked about the importance of understanding our roles, nurturing our relationships, setting directions, and now we're on to number four, and that is about keeping the organisations honest and reliable. Honest and reliable. That sounds like a no-brainer to me, Megan. What does that mean in the context of an organisation these days?
Yeah, I think this one, integrity, is really important too. I think it's whilst the others are a bit more in a practical realm, this is sort of that high level, ethics and integrity, making sure we're doing the best for the organisation, that we're avoiding conflict of interest, that everything that we do is putting the organisation in the best place. It comes back to that notion of fiduciary duty, which I think is a term often people haven't heard before, but it's about in everything that you do, when you sit on a board or a committee of management, everything you do on behalf of that organisation has to be in the best interest of the organisation. It's not about serving your own needs or your own interests or those of, somebody else. It's about organisation first and foremost in all the decisions that you make. So if you can use that as a guiding principle, I think, everything else sort of flows from that. So making sure that the governance decisions you make are in good faith, you're being honest and having that integrity in what you do, thinking through things, making sure you're making the right decisions that are going to be of the greater benefit to the organisation.
I was chairing a board meeting on Tuesday night, and we were just having a robust discussion around a couple of things and saying, what about this and what about that, and I think that and I think that. But in the end, we reached a decision that we could all live with, and the important thing there was, Megan, that going forward, we all live with that decision because we felt that was the best decision for the whole organisation, even though privately we might have had slightly different views.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You have the robust decision around the table behind closed doors, but then outside of that, once you made the decision, you stick with it and, you follow through with that. At the end of the day, if it's something you just desperately cannot live with, you have to assess your continuing involvement with that organisation. Thinking about it from that point of view, making sure that you try to achieve the highest standards within your organisation. I think that, having a code of conduct in place can be a really good tool to help around some of this stuff because it gives us a document that spells out what our organisational values are that we can return to if we feel, how sometimes you just get that gut feeling that something's not right. And it's often because your values have been compromised.
Yes. We better get to the fifth pillar before we run out of time or something, Megan. And, of course, listeners, you have a test coming up, so to see if you can remember what they all are. So would you like to introduce our fifth pillar, Megan?
Yeah, so the fifth one, and this is really important too, obviously, is around accountability. So whether that be internal accountability or external accountability. So when I say that, I mean internal accountability is doing the things that we say we will do. So when you put your plan in place, your strategic plan, your action plan that sits alongside of that, actually following through with it, doing what you said you want to do. People come to your organisation for a reason, so you want to be delivering on that. And from external accountability to internal accountability rather to external accountability, thinking about, who are the external stakeholders perhaps who are relying on us? What are we doing to demonstrate that we've been compliant in the things we need to do, whether that's government or community or, if you've got standards you need to meet, making sure you do all those things. It was interesting when I was reading through these pillars of good governance, the five pillars of good governance from communitygrants.gov.au, it reminded me of the five governance standards that the ACNC has, so the Australian Charities Not-for-Profit Commission, which I often refer people to that, even if they're not a registered charity. it's a really good list that you can use as a bit of a checklist to make sure you're doing the things that support and underpin good governance practice. So while these ones are a little bit different, there's a lot of overlap too.
And Megan, you've worked with lots of community groups and not-for-profit organisations over the years, and would you say that these five pillars, in your experience, are very much the hallmarks of groups that are achieving what they were established for, what they exist for? Do you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you don't always see organisations who've got a focus like this, but the ones that do are the ones that are successful, particularly around setting direction stuff. The number of community organisations, not-for-profits that I work with, that don't have some sort of a plan in place, and they're just sort of fluffing around, and it's a very scattergun approach to running your business effectively, because that's what our not-for-profits and even our small community groups are increasingly being expected by, you know, community standards and government and funders to act like a small business and run their enterprise effectively. So the ones that have got the plans in place are the ones that are out there really kicking goals, really delivering on what they say that they're in place for. Their members are getting a great outcome. And the people who rely on them for supports or services are getting great outcomes. And community as a whole is richer for having those really effective, well-functioning, well-governed community-based organisations.
So in preparation for the big test that's coming up for you listeners after the next song, we'll just quickly whiz through the five pillars again. So we're talking about the importance of making roles clear, of looking at relationships, number two, setting directions, number three, of having integrity, being honest and reliable, number four, and being accountable, number five. We'll come back and tell you all about the amazing prize that you're going to win if you get all five of those in the test. So there you go. And Megan, we've got Van Halen and Jump.
I get up.
It's been great to be back with you for our first Community Conversations program for 2021. We'll be here every Thursday throughout the year and look forward to your company then. We'll be talking all sorts of interesting things. And next week, we have Vicky as our special guest, and we're going to be running a little series on money. Well, yes, that's, I'm sure, of interest to most of us. And we're going to be talking about, well, all things money, budgets and scams and elder abuse, misuse, community groups, all sorts of things that relate to money. So there you go. If that has any interest for you, then make sure you tune in next Thursday morning to listen to a conversation between Vicky, the manager of the Wirriyallik Community Bank branch, and myself talking, well, some very interesting things. I think you might learn some things through that program, which will be great. This morning, though, we've been talking the five pillars of good governance. My special guest has been Megan Buntine. And if you want to know more about the good governance workshops, the strategic planning workshops and other things, as well as a myriad of free resources, you can go to her website, www.mjbconsulting.net.au. That's mjbconsulting, all one word, .net.au. Megan, thanks for the wonderful way you do resource not-for-profits around the place. And I flagged before the song there, you know, the prize for getting for the test now. So if you're a listener and you've been listening this morning, you'll know that the five pillars of good governance are, I'm going to let you fill in the spaces. One, two.
Roles and decisions.
Two.
Effective relationship.
Three.
Setting direction.
Four.
Integrity.
Five.
Accountability.
Fantastic. And if you got all five of those right just then, your prize is the satisfaction of knowing that you are doing a good thing with your community group, with your organisation, because they really are the pillars. And well done to you, and I hope you'll share those with others as well. As Megan said, if you have missed those or you want to see some of the common pitfalls when those go wrong, have a look at the communitygrants.gov.au website, or as Megan has said, go on to the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Commission website as well. Do you want to add anything to that, Megan?
Just to think about the survey that we talked about earlier when we were talking about setting direction. So coming up in the coming months, I'll be doing exactly that with Yarra Valley FEM to help them put a strategic plan and a first year action plan into place. So part of doing that sort of work is getting input from as many stakeholders as possible as to what people think would be great for the station to do. So that survey will be coming soon on the Yarra Valley FM website and the Facebook page, I believe, so keep an eye out for that. It's just, I think it's about five quick, short questions, so if people are able to jump on that and send through some feedback, then we can incorporate that into that whole planning process of setting that direction for Yarra Valley FM for years to come, which would be awesome.
Thank you so much, Megan. And please, yes, please get on the website and contribute. That'll be wonderful. We are out of time this morning. Thank you for your company. Megan, thank you so much for Zooming in this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks. Good to be back.
Fantastic. And we hope it is a great year for 2021 for all of you, and look forward to your company, as always, next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, where we will be talking all things money.